friends, I've got a simple question for you, but it might be a very complicated answer. And the question is, how well would you say that your school operates as a team? How well would you say your classroom of students operate as a team? I feel like now more than ever, our schools are struggling with team dynamics. I feel like students really have a hard time with coming together with a group of classmates, a group of peers, a group of friends, and actually working together for a common purpose, for a common mission. And I would argue that honestly, maybe as adults, as teachers in a building, we struggle with that as well. I think it's become a lot easier in this day and of this age and era to have a me mentality when really we know that things can work a lot better when it's a we mentality. And what I want to do in this episode is talk about how I think we really can work better as a team, that we can get people on the same page. In fact, my school does something where we focus on a word every single month. And maybe your school has done this before, or you're doing it currently, or you've tried it in the past, and it really hasn't been successful. I understand that. But what I want to do in the next 20 to 30 minutes is break down how we came together as a school, as students, as a team, and truly focused on that word of teamwork. Can it actually impact students and staff in a positive way when we shift the mindset of what teamwork looks like, sounds like, and feels like? And what I want to do is break down some ideas, break down some lessons, and talk about how this theme of teamwork made a difference during an entire month in our school and how I really truly believe it can make a difference in yours as well. I think regardless of whether you're in elementary school, middle school, or a high school, there is absolutely something from this episode that you're going to be able to take away and implement with your staff and with your students. So let's get into the episode.
There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. If your school wants to convey a universal language and a universal message to all of staff and all of students, how do you do that? Because I think if we want to get everyone on the same page, then we need to get everyone hearing the same message and seeing the same demonstration or whatever it might be. I think sometimes as schools, we struggle to get everyone aligned because we're playing this huge game of telephone. We maybe send out an email and we expect everyone to read that email and disseminate the information to the correct people. But I think if we want students to get on the same page and we want students to have a common goal or a common mission, then we have to communicate that as a group at the same time, same setting, same situation. And so maybe for your school, you do this in the gym before the first bell rings. Maybe you have like a morning meeting or a together assembly or something like that, depending on the size of your school. I think that's really powerful, even if it's about announcements, right? If the principal announces before the very first bell rings that specials are going to be canceled because the music teacher is out sick or something like that, then that is a really important message to convey when all the teachers and all the students are in the same space. So I'm a big believer in that. And that's exactly what we do with our words of the month. We don't necessarily create a flyer. We don't have maybe like a PowerPoint presentation that goes out to all classroom teachers. If we want to get everyone on the same page, we do it in the same setting with the same message. And so when we wanted to convey the word of teamwork to everyone, I had the opportunity to do that in front of all close to 200 students in our elementary school at the same time. And I'm a big believer in, like, yes, a verbal message and a motivational message, but I'm also a big believer in a visual message, especially for our younger learners. So I love an analogy. I love a visual, and I've seen lots of them over the course of my career, and I'm sure you have as well. But my favorite way to demonstrate teamwork is with a piece of spaghetti, all right? And I want you to think about this. If you were to take a piece of uncooked spaghetti and just grab it by your hand, you could easily break that, right? One piece of spaghetti by itself, easy to break. But what if you got like 10 pieces of spaghetti and you put those in your hands? Can you snap 10 pieces of dried spaghetti noodles in one hand? Maybe so. Maybe you are just like buff. Maybe you got muscles. But the whole point of this is if you grab 20 pieces of spaghetti, 30 pieces of spaghetti, an entire box of spaghetti, and you take those spaghetti noodles in both hands and try with all of your might to snap those noodles in half, you can't. You can't do it. Okay? Your physical force cannot overcome the power of those spaghetti noodles. And if you don't believe me, try it. Get you over to the Aldi, get you a box of spaghetti noodles. But the more noodles that you have in your hand, the stronger it is and the better it is. And that's the exact same thing that I communicated to students with a box of spaghetti. I grabbed a handful of spaghetti for kindergarten students and a handful of spaghetti representing first grade and a whole bunch of it for second grade and so on until I had almost 200 noodles in my hand, one noodle representing every single kid in our school. And then I got some for our staff and our student services team and our therapy dog. And I said, this is our school and we are unbreakable when we work as a team. It's a really simple, really strategic, but really powerful image on how teamwork makes us better, how when we come together, we are stronger and we can do bigger things. And that's how we started the month with our keyword of teamwork, was that visual message, that visual reminder of it's not just us saying, hey, you can work smarter, not harder. Hey, you can work better if you have a partner. There are some situations where obviously kids need and should be working independently in schools, but I think if we want kids to be better partners, be better on the playground, to have better social skills, then we need to practice the concept of teamwork. And so that assembly with the spaghetti noodles as a common image and a common message was the start to our month in focusing on teamwork. Now, I'm the social and emotional learning teacher for the kindergarten through sixth grade. So during that month, it was my job to then take this universal message and differentiate it for kindergarten all the way through sixth grade. And for our younger elementary kids, I decided that doing a read aloud, a strong book with great visuals, is a really impactful way to reach and teach our younger students. So I'm sure you've probably heard of the books about a little spot of, and then dot, 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 like a little spot of teamwork, a little spot of creativity, a little spot of perseverance. The author is Diane Alber, and these books are super visually appealing, and they also focus on some great words. So for my younger students, when we launched this concept of teamwork, I did read that book in the younger classes. For my older students to kick it off, we did some sort of game or activity. So for fourth graders, as an example, I brought in the game of Kerplunk during social and emotional learning time. And I think Kerplunk's like a classic game. I was shocked at how many fourth graders had not only not ever seen the game, they had never played the game, they'd never heard of the game. And so this was a really cool opportunity to get the fourth graders into teams, to focus on teamwork, and to really have a good time in a slightly competitive environment. Because oftentimes with teamwork, there is some sort of level of competition. And for our older students, I don't know if you've seen older students compete recently, but like it's full of, that's not fair. They cheated. Theirs was easier. Theirs was harder. That ref is terrible, right? They just struggle in this way. Instead of working and leaning on each other, they start playing the blame game. So I used Kerplunk as kind of the platform for teamwork, but I made sure that I was incorporating elements of really good communication. Like, hey, you're the red team, you're the green team, you're the yellow team. The goal is to pull one of those color sticks out of the game of Kerplunk, but in order to come up with a plan, it can't just be your opinion on how to play. It can't just be the person in your team who thinks they know how to play this game. I gave every single fourth grade team a chance to have a team meeting. Listen to each other. Hear each other's opinions. What can you come up with as a strategy? What's your plan A? What are you going to do when that plan doesn't work? What's your plan B? How are you going to choose the order of who pulls the sticks from the game of Kerplunk so the marbles don't fall? I think sometimes when it comes to SEL stuff, we kind of forget the surface level things and we try to overcomplicate it. And sometimes we just have to go back to the basics. Part of really good teamwork is really good communication. Part of really good teamwork is making sure that we hear everyone on the team instead of focusing on the, well, I think, well, what do you as a team think? What do we think collectively? And so Kerplunk was a really cool way to do that with the fourth grade class. For my fifth and sixth graders, I wanted to do something a little bit different, okay? I wanted them to dig a little deeper. And so I created this emotion alphabet game. And I got kids into a group of two, a group of three, a group of four, a group of five, and a group of six. And I said, you know what? Look at the group of two. They're going to be working with two brains. The group of six is going to be working with six brains. If we have awesome teamwork, technically, which team should absolutely dominate? And they're all like, the group of six, they got six kids. We only have two kids on our team. So I was creating an opportunity to prove a point because every single team, regardless of whether we had two people on it, three people on it, four people on it, had to complete the exact same task in the exact same amount of time. And so we were testing the theory is, are bigger teams better than smaller teams? Are more brains better than less brains? Knowing that, this theory obviously has some pivot points, some pressure points, okay? So I gave every single team a sheet of paper called Emotional Alphabet. And what they had to do was for every single letter of the alphabet, they had to come up with a word that was connected to each letter from A to Z. So as an example, maybe a team after the timer got started with A, they came up with angry, okay? And B, they came up with brave. And C, they came up with confidence, right? So they had to do one letter of the alphabet, one word for each letter, but they all had to be connected to emotions. And I did not allow them to use slang. Okay, because when we introduce slang in this game, they start to develop a bunch of like fake words and like loophole words, which I'm okay with. And I'll talk about that later. Okay. So what was really awesome was I put them into teams and I said, ready, set, go. And I set a timer for 2 minutes. And if they were in a team of two, it was the two of them talking. If they were in a team of four, it was the four of them talking. And I gave them 2 minutes and then the timer went off. And there was not a single group that got through the entire thing. And I collected those papers from them. And they're like, that what? We didn't even get finished. We weren't even close. But I went ahead and documented how many each team got. And it was super interesting. Because in some of the fifth grade classes, a group of two achieved more than a group of six. And we talked about, why is that? And the group of six said, because we just bickered the whole time. Nobody was listening. The group of four had gotten less than the group of three. And I said, what's going on with that? And they're like, well, this person didn't even write. They were just chilling the whole time. They didn't give any of their opinions. And so again, I emphasize that teamwork is a lot about having really good communications. So after we collected their initial scores, after the first 2 minutes, I said, okay, here's what's up. I'm going to give you guys a chance to have team meetings. And I'm going to set another timer for 2 minutes. You do not get your papers during this 2 minutes, but I want you guys to have a 2 minute team meeting. Talk about your strategy. What's your plan? How are you going to accomplish this together? And once they had their team meetings and they came up with their strategies and they kind of problem solved, I gave the papers back and said, okay, you get another 2 minutes. Everyone has to be on the same page. Everybody has to be writing. Everyone has to be contributing. You just had your first team meeting. I'm going to reset the clock to another 2 minutes. Prove that you guys can be great teammates. And I gave them the exact same task. I said, start wherever you left off. And then I gave them 2 more minutes. And during the second 2 minutes after their teamwork meeting, after their team meeting, they were far more successful. Nearly every single group doubled, if not tripled, their original number. Why? Because they had the opportunity to come together and talk about it, which was such an important thing that sometimes we miss when it comes to teaching kids social and emotional learning skills. Is if we want them to understand the concept, we have to explain the expectations. We have to give them examples. But most importantly, we have to give them the time and the space to figure it out, to model it, to troubleshoot with them, to hit pause in the middle of the game and say, stop, here's what I'm seeing. Here's what I'm noticing. Let's hit pause for a second and then kind of regroup. Emotional alphabet was super, super, super effective. But you know what was interesting? Not the group of two, not the group of three, not the group of four, not the group of five, not the group of six was able to get the entire alphabet in 4 minutes. But remember, the key word for the month is teamwork. So I said, oh snap, hey, sixth grade family, do you think if we all worked together on this, if we all merged our brains and we all merged our papers, could we come up with the whole alphabet as a full team? And of course, they were like, yes, I think we could. So then they came up with strategy like, okay, did anyone have anything for the letter X? We couldn't think of anything for X. And no one in the room had anything for the letter X. And a kid said, what about like exceptional? Like that's an emotion, right? I'm feeling exceptional. And a kid said, that starts with the letter E, not the letter X. And they're like, well, Miss Jenta, can you think of anything that starts with the letter X? And I said, no, I cannot think of a single thing. And they said, well, you guys, as a team, should we vote on this? Which is exactly what I was hoping that they would do, take ownership. And they voted and they're like, yeah, that feels fair. Exceptional. Let's just put X hyphen exceptional. And that was amazing. And then nobody had something for the letter Z. And they're like, are there any words that are emotions that start with the letter Z? And they were kind of like throwing some things out and they were all laughing because they were kind of inventing words. And then one kid said, what about like Zen? Zen, I think, means like calm. And guess what? As an entire team, as an entire class, as an entire grade level, guess what they were able to do? Complete the entire task, which was the whole purpose. What I'm trying to emphasize here is sometimes when we need to get everyone on the same page, yes, we need to start with a universal message, but then what we can do is powerfully and strategically differentiate that message, that vibe, that theme to each group of kids. because I wanted my kindergarten through third grade also doing hands-on activities with teamwork. And so what we did the following weeks after they'd heard the word and we talked about teamwork and we'd done some examples and we made teamwork towers with Legos and we had really, really kind of honed in on what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like, we decided to do something that united the whole school again. The whole school had been working on teamwork, but could we get nearly all 200 students working on the same task with the same goal and the same end result? Well, that would be really hard because we don't share the space at any time in the school day except for the first 5 minutes of the day before we dismiss to core classrooms. But what we could do is have kindergarten play a role, first grade play a role, second grade play a role, every single grade level play a role. And then we reveal our huge teamwork activity to the whole school at the end. And that's exactly what we did. In kindergarten through third grade, we did teamwork past the paper. And I'm sure you've heard of this concept before where every kid in the classroom starts with a piece of plain paper, blank paper. And they get out their crayons, they get out their colored pencils, they get out their markers, they get out their, you know, their art tubs. And for 30 seconds, they get to draw or color or doodle whatever they want. But then I set a timer on the Promethean board. And after 30 seconds, they had to rotate that paper to the next teammate. And they had to either continue drawing what the other person had started or start kind of like a little side drawing. And then they got to do their thing for 30 seconds and then they rotated the paper again. And so it was this teamwork progressive drawing. And at the end, after in some classes, we had time for all, you know, 15 kids to draw on the same piece of paper. In the younger classes, we did it a little bit differently and they traded papers with everyone at their special table. But at the end, we had a little teamwork art show where everyone got to see every single piece of paper. And of course, an opportunity for amazing conversation came up because as I would hold up a finished drawing of at least six kids had played a role in that, a kid would say, "That's mine. That was mine. That's my paper. That's my paper." And they started focusing on me, me, me. That's my work. And I hit pause and I said, "But wait, raise your hand if you colored on this paper." And like 12 kids would raise their hand. "Raise your hand if you colored on this paper." And like, you know, 12 kids would raise their hand there. And then all of a sudden, these kids were like, "You guys, it's not my paper. It's our paper. It's not me who did that. It's we who did that." And that was a powerful shift to see that, like, this is nobody's work. This is everybody's work. This isn't one person, right? There's no I in team. But there is an E and an A in team, okay? And so it was a really cool thing to get them doing something creative and hands-on, but also working as a team. And so I collected all of those papers from all of the younger elementary kids, and then the upper elementary hallways took those pieces of paper and they trimmed them down into like quilt squares. Because let's get serious. Who's got enough room in a school for a banner with like over 100 sheets of paper? That would have been a huge banner. We would have eaten through an entire roll of lamination. So I took the older kids and they got to use some planning skills, some ruler skills, some teamwork skills, because I gave all the older kids sheets of paper during their SEL time that had already had the art on it. And they had to use a ruler, which, whew, what a great life skill to be practicing, a ruler, okay? And they had to find the 5x5 square on every single piece of paper from the art teamwork drawings in the lower elementary. Find the 5x5 square that had the brightest or the boldest or the quirkiest or the funnest or the most beautiful piece. And we're going to cut that out to almost create quilt squares for a banner. And this was so interesting because I put them into teams, right? They had at least one partner and they had to agree. They had to measure. They had to cut it out. They had to like practice this. And again, this shouldn't be that hard, right? They're fourth, fifth, or sixth graders cutting out squares. But anyone who is in education right now knows that this was a mind-boggling task.
Okay. And then in some of the classes, depending on the age of the kids, I ask them to find 2 5x5 squares on one sheet of 8.5x11 paper. Is that the dimensions of a sheet of paper? That sounded weird coming. 8.5x11. That's a sheet of paper, right? Lord. Okay. Nonetheless, to find 2 5x5 squares on a sheet of paper was absolutely just flabbergasting to these kids. And it was on purpose that I did this because I wanted them to have teamwork. It is not so much about the task. It was about, can we talk and get this figured out as a team? And then when we had so many little art squares, quilt squares, we went and we measured out the correct amount of like butcher block paper. And we had kids actually figure out how to get the word teamwork on this poster using additional butcher block paper. And we had glue sticks going like crazy. And we had rulers going like crazy. And we had kids bickering over where the squares should go. And it was a huge teamwork task from kindergarten through sixth grade. But we all did it. And on the last day of the month, we brought this thing full circle. Because at the beginning of the month, we had the presentation with the spaghetti. And at the end of the month, it was the reveal of this teamwork banner. And it was so freaking cool. It was absolutely awesome. And that's how we kind of got everyone on the same page for the same theme, for the same word, for the same character goal. And I want to share two more things with you before the end of this episode. One, if you are looking for powerful strategic ideas, lessons, and curriculum to really boost the social and emotional learning in your school or in your classroom, I'm going to put a direct link in the show notes for something called 180 Days of Awesome SEL, which are 180 fully planned lessons for character building, culture building, those things that our kids need in order to be life ready, college ready, career ready, and awesome kiddos. That link is 180 days of fully planned lessons with links, activities, strategies, and things that you can implement right away in your classroom. You can check out monicagenta.com/180SEL to take a look at that curriculum that is available both for elementary and for upper grades. I'm going to put a direct link for that in the show notes. I also want to share one thing for you as a teacher, as a human, as somebody who works in education. I know that we often say there's no I in team, but I do want to know how you are feeling on a personal level. If you put yourself first, do you feel like you are thriving professionally and personally? Do you feel like you, as you look in the mirror, that you see yourself and I'm like, I'm crushing it. I am doing everything I need to do as maybe a teacher, as a human, as a mom, as a spouse, as somebody who is crushing it in all areas of life. I think it's really hard to do right now, and sometimes we need to be a little bit what some would call selfish, but I don't think it's selfish to say, I need some help. I need to refocus. I need a plan. That's not selfish. That's smart. That's strategic. And I want to let you know that there is a little bit of time left to put yourself first and join the 365 Days of Awesome course. If you haven't heard about this yet, this is a 21-day fun, flexible, virtual course where you can earn up to 15 hours worth of official teacher PD credit for taking a course called 365 Days of Awesome, which is the opportunity to find something every single day in your personal life so that you can be your best as a human, which would then, in part, help you be a better teacher. Teacher burnout is on the rise. Teacher life balance is nearly non-existent right now. And so if you wanna say, I need a little bit of help, I need a refocus, I need a plan, 365 Days of Awesome virtual course is the thing that I really, truly believe
could help you, and registration is still open for a short period of time. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses. That's Monica, GENTA.com/courses to check it out and to learn more. I'll also put a direct link for that in the show notes. But those are two things outside of this concept of teamwork that I really wanted to share with you, because yes, this podcast is about these weekly free episodes, but I genuinely care about outside of these 30 minutes that you're listening to this podcast, maybe on your commute home or your commute to school each week, are we doing simple strategic things to help us in other areas as well? Whether that's getting an amazing curriculum for SEL time or putting yourself first for a second to be your best possible you for this upcoming calendar year, I want you to know I got your back and I want to support you. I hope you have loved this episode about teamwork and getting your whole school and your whole staff on the same page. Thank you for listening. As a reminder, these episodes drop every single Sunday night, so you're ready for your Monday morning commute. Thank you for listening to this episode, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.